Good afternoon. It's 3 o'clock and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on Wednesday, the 23rd of November, the year 2011. Jeff Brown with you here on a Juneau afternoon. Today we'll find out about this Saturday's Holy Trinity Christmas Bazaar with guest Pam Finley. Peter Metcalf will be here to highlight this year's public market. We'll talk with cartoonist Toa about his new book, When Sarah Palin Came to Town. And Mike Busey will be here to highlight the upcoming Floyd Dryden presentation of Aladdin. That's right, that writer's almanac music more today on a Juneau afternoon. The winter weather advisory has been extended until 4 p.m. this afternoon with additional snow showers heavy at times if it's not already heavy enough for you. Forecast for tonight, more snow showers with 2 to 4 inches expected Thanksgiving Day. Looks like snow showers becoming scattered in the afternoon.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Congressional Supercommittee has failed to meet its goal of slashing more than $1 trillion from the federal debt. That means cuts to domestic spending programs, including funds for tribal governments. Matt Laszlo reports from Washington, D.C.
Lawmakers traditionally have a say over every jot and tittle of the federal budget. But in the special process, party leaders hastily put together, setting up the Supercommittee. The panel's failure now ties lawmakers' hands unless they unwind their previous agreement. More than $1 trillion are slated to be cut from the debt starting in 2013, half of that from defense. The other half are all from other domestic items, including tribal education, health care, and crime-fighting programs that many Native leaders see as essential. Some Republicans want to undo the cuts for the Pentagon, but President Obama says he won't let Congress easily undo the previous agreement.
I will veto any effort to get rid of those automatic spending cuts to domestic and defense spending. There will be no easy off-ramps on this one. We need to keep the pressure up to compromise, not turn off the pressure.
The budget cuts aren't scheduled until 2013, so Congress still has time to reach a bipartisan agreement, and lawmakers could override a presidential veto to protect domestic spending, like tribal programs. For National Native News, I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington.
A fundraising goal for a monument honoring Crazy Horse has been met. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt reports.
Sculptor Korchak Julkowski began carving the mountain in western South Dakota in 1948. Those heading the project are accepting no federal money for completion. The face of the Oglala Lakota warrior can be seen on the mountain with many years of work ahead to carve his horse. Several years ago, philanthropist T. Denny Sanford announced a matching funds campaign where he pledged to match donations to continue the work up to $5 million. Officials with the monument say the goal was reached with a $170,000 gift from a California man. He gave the funds on October 21st, which is the anniversary of Korchak Julkowski's death. Sanford says he began the campaign to help speed work on the carving. He says he'd like to see the horse's head at the monument completed in his lifetime. Julkowski was commissioned to create the sculpture by Lakota elder Henry Standing Bear. For National Native News, I'm Gary Ellenbold.
A new report suggests that much of Canada's tap water is at risk of contamination despite progress in monitoring and treatment over the past 10 years. Some of the worst conditions are in First Nations communities. Dan Karpinchuk reports.
In the year 2000, 7 people died and 2,500 became sick in Walkerton, Ontario, when the town's poorly monitored drinking water was contaminated with E. coli. That tragedy led to a revamping of drinking water laws in most provinces. But a report by the environmental group EcoJustice says most regions have not done enough, and it gives the federal government a failing grade for its efforts, especially on reserves, where the standards should be much more rigorous. To that end, the Minister for Aboriginal Affairs, John Duncan, says new legislation aimed at improving water quality on reserves is in the works.
We will be reintroducing First Nations water legislation soon to create enforceable standards and guide investments.
One Native leader in Manitoba, Ron Evans of the Norway House Cree First Nation, is optimistic.
I remain hopeful that it will deal with many of the issues that we brought to the Senate, and I hope that they do something sooner as opposed to later.
Evans says many of the water treatment facilities on reserves are outdated and beyond repair. He says across Canada, there are as many as 150 First Nations under drinking water advisories. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
On this day in 1872, 10 bears died. The Comanche leader was known for representing his people, including on a trip to Washington. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. If you are a Native American who was denied a farm loan or loan servicing from the USDA, you could get money from a class action settlement. Learn about filing a claim at IndianFarmClass.com or at 1-888-233-5506. Support for National Native News comes from the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is 3:05 and you are tuned in to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. First guest braved the snow enough to come down here on the show and be the first guest, Pam Finley, here to talk about the Holy Trinity Christmas Bazaar, which is coming up Saturday, November 26th, at Holy Trinity Church, the corner of 4th and Gold Streets. Pam, thank you for braving the winter winds and
snows. Oh, my pleasure. It's really pretty out there if all you have to do is walk in it.
You're wearing cleats, I see.
Yes, I am wearing cleats.
Holy Trinity Christmas Bazaar, this has been going on a long, long time, it seems like.
It has. Before the church burned, we had a lot of bazaars in the old McFeeters Hall. And then even when we were in St. Anne's Hall, while the new church was being built, we had the mustard seed had a kind of holiday sale. I don't know whether it was really, truly like the old bazaar, but it was sort of in that of that type. And then last year we had our first bazaar in the new church, and this year is our second. It's obviously on the public market weekend. We did that on purpose so that people who are coming downtown can come down and stop by and see us too. If you have been shopping your heart out and you're a little tired, you can come up. We'll have a place to sit and some free coffee and tea. And then when you're rested, you can tan and fit and all that, you can head off over into the church and look at all the things we have. We'll have about a couple dozen wreaths, most of which have been decorated, some we left undecorated. They are all really beautiful. They're mixed greens. The ones last year were pretty, but these I think are even nicer. They're really lovely. I want to get one for myself. And they smell really good too, of course. It's nice to have that evergreen scent. So there'll be those. Also, the patisserie is coming back from last year. It was very popular. Susie Kolb's and Linda Blefkin sort of dress up as French pastry chefs, and people can come and choose their cookies from a wide array of ones that we've baked, lots of different kinds. So you don't just get one kind. You can get pretty much whatever you like that we have, plus baked goods and that kind of thing. There'll be jams and jellies. We'll have some Nagoon berry jelly, which is pretty unusual. Mary Moore makes some of that, and it always goes pretty quickly. So if you want some of the Nagoon berry jelly, you probably ought to come early at 9 or shortly thereafter. We'll also have crafts. There are ornaments from Peru and other kind of crafts from Peru. Karen Crane has a friend who lives in Peru, and Karen sends her some money and says, buy interesting, pretty stuff and send it to me, and her friend did. She did that last year, too, and the items were very popular. They went pretty quickly, too.
Can you describe them a little bit for the people who can't see them?
Well, I can't. There are some ornaments that I think some of them are wooden. They're different shapes. I think she said there was a water bottle holder, just all kinds of fabric things, too. So I wish I could, but I think Karen still has them in her possession, so I haven't seen as many of them. The ones last year were like that. They were there were woven items, and there were also wooden carved things. So I'm assuming that they'll be similar to that this year. The quilters there's a group of people who do quilting Saturday morning in one of the rooms down near McFeeters Hall in the lower level of the church, and they are making fabric bowls, which you'd think a quilted bowl would be kind of floppy, but these things aren't. They're rigid, and they're quite lovely. We had some last year, and they sold very quickly, and they've been making some more for us for this year.
Good for dinner rolls and things like that.
Yes, right. and or fruit. You could put just about anything in them, but they really are quite pretty. We actually got several, and we use them for our offering baskets in church. They're just quite, they're really lovely things. Sarah Isto made her stars that you put on windows that you see through. Those also sell very quickly, so we asked her to make even more this year. There are crafts of various sorts, the sort of thing that one finds at a Christmas bazaar. We'll also be having activities for children. I learned how to make these little angel ornaments out of coffee filters, and they're really quite pretty. I was learning how to make them, and so I could show the kids how to make them. And
so you drink all that coffee, number one.
This is before the coffee has been poured through them. They're not used filters. They're unused filters. But someone came and said, "Oh, I want one of those. I want several of those." So, but we're just letting kids make them. I'll be there to show them how. Plus, make Christmas cards and things like that. So that's kind of what we'll be doing. It's from 9 to 1. I would probably advise you to get there early. Would probably be best if there are special things you want.
And you're going to have it in the church itself rather than the downstairs McFeeters Hall?
Yes, we are doing it in the church. In McFeeters right now is occupied by La Boheme, which is wonderful, I hear. I'm going to go this Saturday night. It's if you want tickets to it, you probably better get them pretty quickly because I hear they're selling out. But anyway, McFeeters has La Boheme in it. We don't want to bother them or make put away all the chairs or that kind of thing. So we're going to do it in the church. We did that last year because we kind of had to. But several people said, "Oh, this is such a beautiful place to have this, to have all these lovely things and all these wonderful wreaths and in this beautiful space." So we thought, well, I'll just do it again. We push all the pews forward in the first. So they kind of occupy the front third of the church, and then the back two-thirds, we just put out the wreaths and the patisserie and other things. There'll also be treasures from the mustard seed, which is the resale shop that's on the sort of Gold Street level of the building. And they have lovely housewares and things, and we chose some of those that we'll bring up and have at the bazaar, too.
And if you haven't got a chance to see the new McFeeters Hall, this is the time to do so.
Yes, actually, that's true. You can walk through the whole building and see all of it, including McFeeters Hall.
And the chapel itself is very pretty.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's being used, which makes us very happy because that was kind of the idea. The Theater in the Rough did their sort of reprise of Midsummer Night's Dream, which was wonderful. It was great. They do such wonderful things. They're such innovative, creative people. But they did that, and they just closed recently, and then La Boheme just opened.
Right, it's all happening this Saturday, starting at 9 o'clock, and get there early. I mean, don't get there before 9. But
yes, I don't know how the snow is going to be, but there usually is parking on the street on the weekend. But also the Alaska Pacific Bank has a parking garage kind of behind it, so that you go down Gold Street to 3rd and turn on 3rd, and you can go down there. And there are usually spaces down there. Most of them are assigned, but I think probably the ones that are assigned to the bank are not going to be used for on that Saturday morning. People sneak in. That's the reality.
Don't Pam Finley send you.
don't tell them that. But there's usually parking. I don't think there'll be that much trouble. There's also actually parking, a small parking lot behind the church, sort of down off of Gold Street towards 3rd.
And that's McFeeters Hall in the Holy Trinity Episcopal Church at the corner of 4th and Gold Streets. Pam Finley, thank you very much for coming down the station.
Well, my pleasure.
Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
No. Just it's this Saturday. 4th and Gold, 9 to 1.
Bring your checkbook.
Bring your checkbook. Thank you.
316, and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Reminder that there is some Pi Fagos going on today. Actually, one closed at noon today, or at 3 o'clock today at the Douglas Methodist Church, but there's still Pi selling going on at A&B Foodland, I think today, and a little bit for the Juneau Club Preschool. Also, the Bridge will be selling sugar-free treats at Safeway this Saturday. They'll be selling homemade briefs and join them in their support of Southeast seniors. In the studio with us now is Peter Metcalf, who works and came up with the idea of the public market a number of years ago. How many years ago was that idea?
Well, this is the 29th annual. We started in 1983.
And who has been there the longest? Do you have any idea?
You know, I'm kind of stumped on that question. We have a lot of longtime vendors, but Ella Bentley was our longest vendor, and she's no longer. This was her first year that she hasn't appeared in prior 28 years. So we've lost all, you know, the Tex-Mex. Remember Terry Harvey? He was a longtime vendor for, you know, many years. And
the hot dog machine came out of my basement.
Yeah. So anyway, we have quite a number of longtime vendors. Who the longest at this point fails me.
How about some notable newcomers?
Oh, we have a lot of newcomers. We have something like 33 brand new to the public market vendors, and a total of 45 who were not here last year in 2010. A number of those vendors, such as Robin Marriott, who has a business called Mary Art. Many people in Juneau will know Robin. She has been out of town since 2007, has moved back, and so she's one of the a long time but returning vendor. So we have a lot of people like that.
But how many vendors do you have spread out over not only Centennial Hall but also the National Guard?
Well, we have well over 160, and why it's not a specific figure is because quite a number of vendors share spaces, but we have about 160 spaces, and we have roughly 40 in the annex, which is the Juneau Arts and Culture Center, and about 120 in Centennial Hall itself.
Now, keeping in mind that this is a family show and all ages listen, what do you think is what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you see all the snow coming down?
I think nothing stops people from shopping. We've had worse weather than this. I mean, this isn't even bad weather by our standards. The worst weather was a November where we got an ice storm, and the roads and sidewalks were sheets of ice, and we still broke records. It's crazy.
About how many shoppers come to the public market each year?
Well, that's a bit proprietary, but several thousand, and it's... I'm quite certain it's the largest, most well-attended event in Southeast Alaska.
What do you think is the best time to come to avoid the crowds? Because it does get so crowded you can't even think in there.
Yeah, that's a common complaint, but it kind of reminds me of a bar I once ran, the Crystal Saloon, and people would tell me, my God, you know, it is so busy. And I'm like, would you please come on a Tuesday? So at the public market, it is crowded from noon to about 3:30 or 4 on Friday, and that's, you know, when we get the biggest, most aggressive shoppers, greatest number of. And after 3:30 or 4 on Friday, it gets, you know, pretty even, and I don't think anybody would call it overly crowded. Saturday, it begins getting crowded between 11 and 3. Otherwise, you know, we open at 10 on Saturday and Sunday, and close at 5, so early or late on Saturday is going to be fine if you don't like crowds. And then on Sunday, just about any time during Sunday, it's a steady but not a really intense crowd on Sunday.
And part of the fun is seeing your friends and talking to them for a little while.
Yeah, that's. I mean, so many people say that, and it's very true for me too. I'm there and seeing people I haven't seen all year, and. And, you know, and a lot of guys, my buddies who I went to school with are here, and they're with their wives, and they're just kind of hanging out, but they're having a good time yakking away, so it's a great social event.
You mentioned the Armadillo Tex-Mex Cafe, which is no longer around, but a number of businesses still are in the food court.
Oh, yes, we, Tony Tings will be there with his ice cream. We got the Spinning Pig would be doing barbecued sandwiches, and Trish will be selling hot dogs, and then we have Tracy LaBarge doing the King Crab Shack. So she has crab cakes and bisque. And then there's one of the vendors is selling panini, and there's gourmet cupcakes. And, of course, there's going to be the espresso cart. There's also some candied nuts. So it's a good range of both dessert and entrees. That, you know, we have to feed close to 500 people who are participating as vendors or vendor helpers. So we have most of us plan on eating there, and we pay attention trying to get some good food offered.
I was talking to Tony Tanks a little while ago, and he mentioned that he does not take credit cards, so he encouraged people to bring cash or checks.
I think that'd be a very good idea. I would say probably about 20% of the vendors take credit cards, but mostly it's a cash and carry business.
Family day on Sunday.
Yes. That's always been, really a fun day because we have Santa come in around 11. He's there from 11 to 2, and the vendors are very generous and contribute prizes that Santa gives to every child who sits on his lap and tells them what they want for Christmas. But in the past, at one time we were doing kind of little prize drawings for these kids, but the children were so intent upon winning, and when they didn't, they'd be crying, and we thought, man, this just doesn't work. So pretty soon the vendors just gave us so many things to give away that we were able to give every child who talked to Santa a gift, and that works out much better. So we also have and on Family Day, there'll be the balloon guy there. And I want to drop a big hint, but I'm not going to say what's going to happen. But on Saturday, there's going to be a sort of a surprise event. And anybody who wants to see something that's really going to, and hear something that's really pop out at them, and it's going to be really fun. It's going to happen at noon on Saturday, but I cannot reveal what is going to happen.
But I know it does involve singing of some sort.
Perhaps.
Mom's the word, Pete.
Yes. But, I would highly recommend being near the food court at noon on Saturday at the public market. It'll be really fun. So it's become really a very much, we talk about things being a tradition. Well, this event has somewhat on its own, somewhat organically. I mean, we haven't tried to micromanage it. It's just grown on its own, and it's become a fun thing for the community, and people seem to look forward to it.
I've been talking to Peter Metcalf about the public market, the 29th annual public market going on this weekend. What are the hours and the days?
It's Friday through Sunday. Friday we open to the public at noon, and we're open until 8 p.m. And on Saturday and Sunday it's 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. There is a $6 admission charge at Centennial Hall. The ticket is good for the whole weekend, so hang on to it. In the neighboring Juneau Arts and Culture Center, the Jack, we have another 40 vendors, and there's no admission charge to that facility.
Well, it's always a lot of fun. Peter Metcalf, thank you for coming down. Anything like that I might have forgotten to ask?
I think, the main thing is, there's parking. People complain about that, but there's a whole parking lot behind the museum, for one thing, and then the state parking lot by the subport is generally fairly empty during the weekend. And it's going to be a bit of a challenge. There's a lot of snow, but I think Juneau drivers are pretty adaptive to this sort of weather, so I expect people will make it down.
And Pete, thank you for coming by.
Thank you, Jeff.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 23rd of November, 2011. It's the birthday of the poet and pop philosopher and historian Jennifer Michael Hecht, born on Long Island in 1965. Her latest book, The Happiness Myth, the historical antidote to what isn't working today, in which she argues that happiness is a phenomenon influenced far more by culture than by what we think of as scientific fact. She said, "We think our version of a happy life is more like physics than like pop songs. We expect the people of the next century, say, to agree with our basic tenets. For instance, that broccoli is good for a happy life and that opium is bad. But they will not. Our rules for living are more like the history of pop songs. They make their weird sense only to the people of each given time period. They aren't true. It's the birthday of memoirist Ishmael Bia, born in Sierra Leone, 1980. He was 11 years old when a brutal civil war took place in his country, which eventually killed 500,000 of his countrymen. He wrote a book about it in 2007, A Long Way Gone, Memoir of a Boy Soldier, which told the story of how, after he and a group of boys from his village fled from the rebels, they were picked up by an army militia, plied with drugs, taught to fight with bayonets, and led into the jungles to do bloody battle against other bands of boys. He was 13 at the time. He was removed from the fighting by UNICEF, taken to a rehab center, then moved to New York City, where he lived with a foster mother, went to high school, and then to college. And it's the birthday of Neeraj Chowdhury, born 1897 in what was then Bengal, a region of British-ruled India. Made his career in journalism, in English. His memoir, The Autobiography of an Unknown Indian, was very popular in 1951, especially outside of India. And then his last book, Three Horsemen of the New Apocalypse. He wrote it when he was 99. He died 2 months shy of his 102nd birthday. Here's a poem for today by Samuel Hazo for Anna Catherine on Thanksgiving. The first girl in generations you came when the century clicked from nines to zeros to plus one. Capped on a pallet, you flexed your toes and let us count your fingernails. We studied you as our particular event, our small surprise, our bonus. Months earlier, I prayed that you'd be born intact and healthy, and you were. Today, I wish you beauty, grace, intelligence, the commonplace grandfatherly cliches. What makes us crave for those we love, such bounties of perfection? Life, just life, is never miracle enough, no matter how we try to church ourselves. Squirming in my arms, you save me from my tyranny of dreams with nothing but your version of a kiss and the sure, blind love of innocence. For Anna Catherine on Thanksgiving, a poem by Samuel Hazo from The Song of the Horse, published by Autumn House Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, where your mobile device can turn into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app. You can find it online at poetryfoundation.org. Edited by Noah Smith and written by Heather McPherson. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Time is 3:30 and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a June afternoon. Next guest is Tony Newman. He's the author of a book called When Sarah Palin Came to Town. It's a treasury of cartoons and essays by Tony Newman, also known as Tony, generally by on Sundays. Tony, thank you for being on the station today.
Thanks, Jeff.
First question, how did you get started drawing?
Boy, I've been drawing as long as I can remember. One of my earliest memories, in fact, is looking through the New Yorker magazine on the floor of my living room as a preschooler and taking the magazine to show my mother. Because I'd always understood that a cartoon is something you laugh at, and I didn't understand what was funny about some of the things I'd see in there. And I'd ask my mother, can you read this to me? And I'd look at her face, and she wouldn't smile, or she might slightly smile, and I'd say, is that funny? Because I wouldn't understand what was funny about it. So I have always drawn and been interested in cartooning, and it was really when I moved to Juneau in 1994 that I started to really take that seriously, and I found an audience.
And we know that a lot of people like your cartoons, but do you ever run across people who have the opposite reaction?
Real rarely. I would say for every, 99 compliments I get, I hear from someone who didn't like something. So real rarely, but, part of the goal is not to, please everybody. Part of the goal is to comment on things and spark discussion. So, hopefully I've been an equal opportunity, cartoonist.
What's the longest time you've ever taken to come up with a cartoon from the idea to finish drawing?
Every cartoon is different. Some ideas seem to just strike like lightning. Others need lots of time spent walking and thinking and standing in the shower and thinking through things. But once the idea comes in, the idea is the hard part. And usually it just takes a few hours to draw them. It depends. My cartoons are all over the map in terms of complexity. Some are real detailed. Others are very simple. And I try and find the level of detail that's needed to convey the point in the most effective way.
Tell me about the Raven.
Oh, in a lot of the cartoons, not everyone, but in an awful lot of them, I use the Raven to comment on what's going on in the cartoon or on the issue. The Raven is a nice device. It gives you an opportunity to have a sort of an everyman comment on the action. Somebody who's observing but not participating in the particular situation. And where do I get that? It's a tribute to the Raven legend here from the local culture and traditional culture. And as well as just seeing ravens out and about making all their mischief.
The name of the book is When Sarah Palin Comes to Town. It will be available Friday at the public market and not before. When did it progress? What was the process of it progressing from a cartoon strip on a weekly basis to a book?
Well, certainly not every cartoon I've done in the past decade has been about our former governor. But a lot of them were, particularly when she was making the news a lot.
She's your neighbor as well.
Yeah, I live downtown, so I felt particularly interested in what was going on under that under her leadership. But many people over the years have encouraged me to make a collection of cartoons, and I never really could find the theme that would draw them all together. There, you know, I draw cartoons basically from what strikes me in the news, whether that's the loss of a beloved community figure or something of statewide significance or something of just merely local significance. So in the arc of Sarah Palin's career, from her first bid for statewide office to the present, I finally found a theme around which I felt like I could gather the cartoons into a collection. It wasn't complete. I felt like I needed to draw about two dozen more cartoons to flesh out the narrative, and I also felt I needed to write some essays to accompany the cartoons and put them in context. So I got a grant from the Arts Council to do that. I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do when I went to the Arts Council with my proposal, but I was grateful that they were able to take a chance on what I had in mind, and the result is this book.
It's about half essay and half cartoons. How much research did you do?
I did a lot. I would look at a cartoon and think, what was going on back then? What was that about? And so I spent many hours in the state office library going through archives. I really devoted most of my attention to the Juneau Empire archives, also some Alaska Budget Report archives, and I ran by what I wrote down to some reporters here in the Capitol for their to help ensure its accuracy and you know, appropriate emphasis.
To me, it's kind of like a textbook as to what was going on at the time.
Well, hopefully not as dull as a textbook.
Yeah, it's meant to be a history. It's the kind of book I wanted to read. It's the book I wanted to see about Sarah Palin. And if there's a secondary character in the book, it's Juno itself and how we reacted to her governorship, the things we loved about her and the things that concerned us, and how our relationship, not just Juno's relationship, but all of Alaska's relationship changed. So it's a book intended to explain both to the Palin fan how attitudes about her has shifted. And it's also a book to remind those of us who aren't Palin fans what we once appreciated about her. So I'm hopeful that both fans and the critics will find something in this book to identify with and argue about.
As the book goes on, the tone of the humor changes. You pull fewer punches.
That's probably true. I think one thing that was interesting for me to go through the book was to see how she shifted from a character who was largely reacting to the madness around her with the corruption investigations and other things, how that shifted from her being sort of in the arena with us and observing these things, and how we very much felt that she was an ally in overcoming the corruption and other things that were going on, and how that shifted from feeling like she was something different. And so it's a sad book to me in many ways, as much as, even though it's full of hopefully a lot of good humor.
You have lived quite close to her, kind of like a Joe McGinnis view of the governor's mansion. Did Sarah ever acknowledge any of your cartoons?
Not to me directly. I met her a couple of times, and I'm sure she wouldn't remember meeting me. It was just sort of, you know, shaking hands with citizens kind of things. But I heard from the Empire editor, I think in about 2007, I did a cartoon about the governor's mansion open house, and this is in the book, where I talked about the cartoon was sort of about our questions as to how dedicated she was to her governorship, and I heard from the Empire's editor at the time, Lori Thompson, that she'd gotten a call from the governor's office saying that they thought the cartoon was unfair. So that's the extent of the direct feedback I've gotten.
So that didn't stop you from making cartoons?
No.
When Sarah came to town, you're having a public market release party this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the public market. Where's your booth going to be?
I'm not quite sure. I'm going to be sharing it with the folks from representing a Guatemalan orphanage selling jewelry made by the orphanage as a nonprofit fundraiser. So I think we're tucked somewhere in the corner of the Centennial Hall, and I hope to see people and say hello and sign books for them.
And how much does the book run?
$19.95.
And Tony Newman, otherwise known as Toe, thank you for coming down to the station today. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
No, Jeff. Thanks for all you do.
We members of the Tea Party are sick of all the taxes we pay now.
Pay now, taxes we pay.
So we're holding lots of rallies with our misspelled signs on display now.
Display now, signs on display.
Seems the liberals have been spending all our money like an endless buffet now.
Say now, endless buffet.
And we'll have
fun, fun, fun,
till Obama takes our tea bags away.
Fun, fun, fun.
The people will support us because the government can't get any fatter. So for dinner, we'll serve anchor baby skewered on a nice silver platter.
Nice silver platter.
We got our leader, Sarah Palin, because a tea party should have a Mad Hatter. And we'll have fun, 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 putting slogans on our t-shirts today.
Fun, 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 slogans on our t-shirts.
We're coming to D.C. Can you see that we must be respected?
Respected, give us respect.
But we won't drive on roads they funded with the stimulus or tax they collected.
Collected, tax they collect.
And we're suspicious that the roads into D.C. are also pointing toward Mecca.
Mecca,
now
toward
we'll
Mecca.
Have fun, 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 giving teabagging new meaning. Fun, 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 now the house has had a cleaning.
Fun, 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 shall we take over the U.S. of A.?
Tonight on 360 North, back by viewer request from 8 until 10, it's Arctic Sun, Fulfilling the Dream, from the author of Arctic Daughter. Jean Aspen, her husband Tom Irons, their son Luke, and a family friend spend 14 months alone in Alaska's Brooks Range. It's an inspirational story of a family adventure and journey into remote wilderness. It's a great way to look at Alaska tonight on 360 North. Check us out at 360north.org, on Twitter and Facebook.
Don't worry if you eat too much this Thanksgiving. The traditional Thanksgiving Friday Barn Dance gives you a chance to dance those excess calories off and extend holiday visiting with more friends and neighbors. It happens Friday, November 25th, 7:30 p.m. at St. Anne's Parish Hall downtown. Juno's Impromptu, led by Mike Sicarius' Hammer Dulcimer, will provide live music, and Tom Paul will teach and call conference square dances. You don't need experience or partner to have a good time. Free for SAGA and JVs, discounts for students and seniors. Don't miss the Thanksgiving Barn Dance.
Time is 3:42 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Next guest is music teacher for Blair Durant High School, elementary school, I got it right
middle
there,
school.
Michael Busey. Thank you very much for coming down to the station.
Thanks, Jeff.
You're here to talk about an upcoming production of Aladdin, which opens up December 2nd and 3rd here in the capital city. Sounds like a lot of fun, a lot of work.
Yeah, it's been a lot of work. It's a school project with our choir teacher out there and orchestra teacher. Missouri Smythe is the music director, and Barb Meyer, also a teacher trainer out of Floyd Dryden. She's doing the directing. She just did directing for Peter Pan, and we've been working on it since early October, and we've got to cast the kids. It's been about almost 30 kids, and they've been working after school very diligently and on their own, and we're ready to put the show on. And we've got a little orchestra that we'll have in the pit, and it's going to be at Thunder Mountain High School at 7 o'clock on Friday, December 2nd, 7 in the evening, that is, and then 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. on Saturday, December 3rd. We're looking forward to the show. The tickets are $10 for individuals and $25 for family tickets, and you can buy them at Hearthside or at the door.
And the last play you put on was a showstopper. It packed crowds and got rave reviews.
It did. We did. It was the same group of us, Missouri and myself and Barb, put on Fiddler on the Roof last year, and we were kind of shocked by how great it was, too. And person after person came in and said, you know, I was expecting a middle school production, and being that middle school is what it is. But they went away saying, wow, that was quite a program. And I think that they're going to go away from this as well. Shelley Wright is making the costumes for us, and she does a fantastic job with that. And Joe Cordo over at Thunder Mountain is helping us with the set design, and he does a fantastic job. It's really going to be a good show, a lot of fun, and it's hopefully going to take us out of the cold and ice for an hour and 15 minutes, and into the desert of somewhere Arabia.
So what's the process of taking a young person and turning them into a seasoned theater veteran?
A seasoned theater veteran? Their parents, I guess. You know, it is interesting to see, you know, at least half the cast have never been in a musical, never been in a theater production, and it's a real learning process. You know, it takes a ton of work. You know, not just lines and where to stand and how to act but all the singing involved. There's a lot of choreography in the show. One neat thing about this Aladdin Jr., which is it's based on the Disney cartoon, but it was made into a Broadway musical, and then it's edited down for middle school kids so that it's in their range and the dialogue's not quite as involved as a full adult version. But what's fun is the kids are on stage a lot. There's a lot of singing, a lot of dancing. It's very fun, fast moving. It's a great show, and it gives almost all the kids in the cast lots of chances to be on stage and really work on their chops. And they're excited about it. They're and also excitement coming from the fact that the whole school at Floyd Dryden is going to come out and see it on Thursday. That's just a
private showing for the school, and the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders will all come out in two different groups and watch their peers put it on. And I know last year after we did Fiddler on the Roof, some of the kids who played the characters came back to stardom and recognition. Heretofore unknowns were suddenly superstars at Floyd Dryden. So they have to deal with that, you know, the paparazzi and that whole scene.
There's about 30 people involved in the production?
Yeah, and then about 10 kids in the orchestra pit.
That sounds like a lot of fun. How do you turn it from something that is kind of dry and rote, the words on a page, to something fun and experimental?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I think it's being able to take the risks to play and to have fun with it. One nice thing, Barb's been doing, she's the main director, but there was a week where we had Shona Strausser from Perseverance came out and worked with the kids and had them kind of do games and interaction exercises. I don't know what you'd call it exactly. I'm not a theater person necessarily myself, but she really brought the kids out a lot as well, and they had a lot of fun. It was just a lot of playing too, you know, it's kind of a miracle. I guess it's just we carry it around in us, and it's getting the right director to kind of pull it out, you know, is what's the magic of it, I think. And I think it's surprising for the kids too when they realize that they can pull it off and actually bring an audience to a different place, you know, kind of a special theater place while they're watching.
And with all those young hormones changing at the same time.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah. And the cast is well distributed between 6th graders, 7th graders, and 8th graders. Aladdin is a 6th grader, and Jasmine, his love interest, is a 7th grader. And the genie is a 6th grader, and then the number of the narrators are 8th graders. The Sultan is 8th graders. It's a good mix. And the kids, it's nice to see the older ones supporting the younger ones, and sometimes vice versa when the older ones forget their lines and stuff.
Do you have a flying carpet?
We do have a flying carpet. It is you have to use your imagination a little, but it's there.
All right, and it opens up on the 2nd and 3rd of December at Thunder Mountain High School. And how can people get tickets?
At Hearthside or at the door.
All right, anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
I would like to say that it's been nice. The administration has really helped us out with this and supported us with it, and it's nice that we're getting the whole school to get to go see it. That's a real special deal. But thanks for having me on the show.
And thank you for braving the snow and the winter weather to come down here and talk about it.
You bet.
Someone stole my bread! Someone stole his bread!
Sourdough. Gotta go.
One jump ahead of the bread line. One swing ahead of the sword.
I steal only what I can afford. That's everything.
One jump ahead of the long end. That's all, and that's no joke.
Most guys don't appreciate I'm broke.
Rip rap, stray rap, scoundrel, take that.
Just a little snack, guys.
Rip him open, take it back, guys.
I can take a hint, gotta face the facts. Now you see what I go through.
Ow! Oh, it's that Aladdin with the product. He's become a one-man rising tide.
I blame parents except he hasn't got 'em.
Gotta eat to live, gotta steal to eat. Tell you all about it when I got the time.
You see, Jasmine, outside the palace is a different world, and that's precisely why you must marry someone who... Jasmine? Where is Princess Jasmine? The princess is missing!
She was right behind us, wasn't she?
Well, she's not there now.
Well, she's not here now! Jafar, do something!
Find the princess, you fool! Immediately!
Find the princess, you fools! Immediately!
Please, worthy friends, you are not to be alarmed. The crime rate here in Agrabah has been declining steadily for years.
Thank you.
That is the London Symphony Orchestra playing the music of Jethro Tull featuring Ian Anderson.
Come celebrate Alaska Native Heritage Month with friends and neighbors. Saturday, November 26th, 3 o'clock at the Downtown Public Library. We'll have readings and conversation with Nora and Richard Dauenauer, Carol Feller Brady, and more. Nora Marks Dauenauer's most recent work is First Fish, First People, Salmon Tales of the North Pacific Rim. Richard Dauenauer is former poet laureate of Alaska. Carol Feller Brady is author of Through the Storm, Toward the Sun, sponsored by the Friends of the Juneau Public Libraries.
Tis the season at Perseverance Theatre with Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Follow the journey of Ebenezer Scrooge as the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future remind him of the true meaning of Christmas. Bring the whole family and celebrate the season with this classic tale. A Christmas Carol runs November 25th through Christmas Eve with a special matinee performance on that day. For more information, visit perseverancetheatre.org or call 463-TIXS. Play big at Perseverance Theatre.
Just about 3:58, and you are tuned to KTUO in Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTUO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Ock Bay area, tune to K276 AF at 103.1. Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT Sarsuna at 91.9. And Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, you can hear KTUO on K210 AS 89.9, and in Juneau, you can also receive the KTUO on GCI Cable Juneau on digital channel 871. KRNN can be heard on digital channel 872, and KXLL can be found at 873. Also online at www.ktuo.org. Coming up tomorrow on the Juneau afternoon, a Thanksgiving special featuring Garrison Keillor. The weather forecast for tonight, the winter storm warning is in effect until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. The snow coming down. Tonight's snow showers heavy at times, snow accumulation 4 to 6 inches with locally higher amounts, low temperatures around 26 degrees. Forecast for Thanksgiving Day, snow showers diminishing in the afternoon with snow accumulation of up 2 to 4 inches expected, high temperatures around 30 degrees. Thursday night, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of snow showers. Friday looks like snow showers are likely and looks like there's a chance of rain and snow on Saturday with high temperatures around 35 degrees. And coming up next is All Things Considered. Thank you for tuning in to June Afternoon today and have a great evening. Fare then, walk carefully, watch out for others, and take care.